We're all seeking the answer to life, and today we're talking about a beautiful guide towards inner confidence and empowerment, especially written for women in mind. We're here with Belinda Jane Robinson. Belinda is a former nurse, designer, clothes shop owner, and model. Her book, The Seven Jewels of Life, is out now. So hi, Belinda. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, Josephine. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for asking me to come along.
It's an absolute pleasure. So can you tell us the philosophy behind The Seven Jewels of Life?
Well, I suppose the philosophy is what came to me is I suddenly came to a point where I found an old treasure box that my mother had given me. And these jewels gave me a roadmap, because as I found them and I looked at these jewels, she was actually teaching me the seven, the colours of the rainbow at the time, so it had the seven jewels. Oh. And as I looked at each one in turn, I realised that each of the jewels was pointing me in a direction to look at seven areas in my life. The prize was this little diamond that I had in the treasure box, which was to remind me that the diamond reflects all the colours of all the jewels, all the colours of the rainbow. So therefore, to keep that as your home base. So even though, you know, the jewels might represent one area, it's important to look at all aspects of your life, all areas, and not just one, to feel the glow of the diamond within.
Oh, beautiful. Now, can we just point out that these are not real jewels?
No, these are not. These are glass, unfortunately. These are not real jewels. No, these are not jewels.
And this was a jewelry, little jewelry box that your mother had given you when you were a child.
Yes, because I was actually born in Singapore and brought up on a rubber plantation in Malaysia. And then at 6 years old, you know, sent off to boarding school, home, so-called, which was England in those days. But to stop homesickness, I was given two gifts. One was this little treasure box of jewels that came from a side street vendor in Singapore. And as I say, in it, I kept these seven brightly coloured glass jewels, because, as I say, my mother was teaching me the colours of the rainbow. And then the prize was the diamond, glass diamond wrapped up. And so she said, every night, stop your homesickness, because I was 6 or 7, you know, look at all your jewels, polish each one, and then as a last treat, get the diamond out, and you could polish that and show it up to the light with your little torch, and you can see it reflects all the colours of all the jewels, all the colours of the rainbow, and make a wish. So that was my best friend, my treasure box of jewels.
So your mother was an inspiration then to you, really?
She was, yeah. She was.
Yeah. Amazing woman, though, to think that imaginatively about you.
Yes, it was amazing, and I missed her desperately, and they used to, Miss Huxley was my headmistress, oh my God, she was the sister, Margaret Huxley, of the acclaimed Aldous Huxley, and she was absolute classic character.
Wow.
She had a, you know, come along, dear, behave yourself. You know, you'll see her in a year if you behave yourself. You know, just you'll see them in a year. So I was like, oh, so I grab my jewel box every night to kind of keep myself.
Terrible. Now, but you've done all these jobs. You've had a very colourful, amazing life. And then you had a personal crisis, and this brought you back to the jewellery box. Can you tell us what crisis you had, which kind of evolved into the book?
Yeah, sure. So, as you say, I did quite a few things, from nurse to fashion designer to modelling, and eventually a reflexologist. And I was married for nearly 30 years. And then a few years ago, my near 30-year marriage started to collapse, and I had two lovely daughters. And I felt numb. I felt unable to speak up for myself, and desperately disempowered, and just in a really, really bad way. And I thought, how did I get like this for a start? But more importantly, how can I get myself, you know, out of this?
Do you think you were clinically depressed?
Probably. I probably was. I just had no energy. I was just completely in shock by everything. And yes. And one day I went to a yoga class, and my yoga teacher said, "Well, I don't know what you're going through, but I was clear a cupboard out." Just put my mind off it. So when I got back, as just something to, you know, point me in a direction, I went up to my loft and I thought, oh my God. Anyway, there in the corner was this treasure, this old wooden trunk with Singapore on it. And I delved down, and there at the bottom were my best friends, my treasure box of jewels. And my father would give me a globe up as well. And as I opened the lid, there they were, sparkling as they'd always done. Ah, my best friends. And it gave me a bit of light in the darkness. But this time, as I picked each jewel up, they seemed to be like egging me on. The little brass ruby said, "Well, what's your purpose?" And I thought, what are you talking about? I don't know, what purpose? And I just grabbed the nearest bit of pen, and the next thing I'm writing for hours. And the emerald said, "Love you." "What about love? Love yourself." And I thought, what's that even mean? Sapphire, where is it? Speak up for yourself. Where is it that you haven't been doing that? I thought, well, I just haven't. I've been dimmed down version. So before these jewels were really trying to get me, I suppose, looking back, getting back on track. And then I saw the little diamond and I remembered my wish. And I just said, oh, please help me get back on track. And that's kind of how I found the jewels again and how I found me in the end.
So how can this philosophy help us women?
Well, I mean, this is a few years on now, but obviously I believe that each one of us has a treasure box of jewels deep within us, and it's up to us and no one else to find our jewels, to find these aspects. By that I mean find the joy in your life. Look at these. I mean, each jewel came to represent an area of my life that I felt at that time I needed to get in balance. So it's taking radical responsibility for yourself and not expecting someone else to do it. So we've all got a unique, and you just, you know, we all go through these dramas, and it's not until we go through the dramas and we can read all the wisdom in the world, but it's not until we actually hit something ourselves, whether it's death, divorce, health, whatever it is, lose money, that we realise the buck stops here. And so they help us to have radical responsibility and give a bit of a roadmap as to where to go when you can't think straight, I suppose.
Okay, well, let's go through some of the jewels and their meanings, just so that people can understand. So we'll start with ruby then.
Yeah, so the ruby. Yes, the beautiful red ruby. So the ruby, when I took that out, I don't know how it happened, it's just organic. People said, oh, did you think of the chakras? Did you think? No, I just thought ruby, and it was...
So it was instinctual.
Instinctual. Yes. And I picked that up and it thought, what's your purpose in life? I don't want to...
Everyone needs a purpose, do they?
I think it's just, yes, I believe that we're all unique and we all have some contribution to make. There's something you can do, I can do better than anyone else on the planet. And we're not taught this at school. We're taught history, geography and everything else apart from all this stuff. But this is what's coming to me. I thought, well, what is it? What's unique? You know, what about you? How can you make a difference? So it really pointed me in the direction of life purpose. So I just wrote it down. I didn't exactly think at the time. Mm. And then it became to those kind of things like money and finances. Remember, because each jewel almost had four facets. Mm. Each jewel had four facets. So the ruby was first thing that was one came to the top, which was your life purpose. And then, you know, what about your finances?
You know, yeah, you've got to face them. Whoa, yeah, face I know. Those. I know. And you always put the envelope in the drawer.
Yes, I thought, well, that's rubbish for a start. I mean, on a scale of 0 to 10, I think they were all 0 if there was a minus. So this was, you know, life purpose 0, finances 0, reading and studying. I'd always been quite interested in having something on the go, whether it was learning Hindi or something random. But book, you know, so much wisdom. It just reminds me to have a, you know, expand my mind. So the ruby was about those kind of practical things was the first one.
Okay, then it's topaz. And what colours are topaz?
The topaz was orange. I mean, I don't know. I think they're a turquoise. But it just
They can be different colours.
They can, but I think the main is orange. Mm. That was all about what came up was creativity. Mm. Creativity. I know, because I realised our imagination...
Do you think everybody's creative? Because loads of people you meet, they go, oh, I'm not creative. And
yes.
That's rubbish, isn't it?
I think that's rubbish, because you could be creative. Mm. Your imagination is the key to your creativity. And it's a celebration of our uniqueness. Everybody's unique. Everyone's a snowflake. Everybody is unique. So, yes, everyone's going to be creative in their way. It's unique to no one's ever heard about. So it's daring to, you know, daring to dream, as the Aboriginals say, dare to dream, you know. Dare to dream, dare to imagine, dare to dream. So it was all about creativity as the main thing of the topaz. And also, because of my love of travel, it encouraged you to think about travel, wherever you always want to go. And your dreams, of course, your dreams, dream time again. And the Aboriginal, I go back to that, because what organically happened is that each of the jewels not only represented a day of the week, but a continent of the week, because having been brought up in the Far East, my dad gave me a little globe. I used to spin that round at night as well and remember my trip in those days back on a boat. It took about 3 or 4 weeks. All these amazing cultures I'd seen. So I thought, right, I've got to fit the world in. So every day was a continent. So Monday was Africa. I think Tuesday was Australia. And, of course, Dreamtime with the Aboriginals, that fitted in well. You know,
so exactly as you kind of evolved with the stones as and the continents, then you could delve more into the culture and see what's calling to me from that culture to put in this.
Yes, and it was excuse to celebrate our music, culture, food, and wisdom every day, because I eventually thought about. It was just brilliant. I was just stuffing it all in my head, but I was having quite fun doing it. It's just, yes, yeah, so definitely to
Fantastic.
Celebrate.
Yeah. Now we're on to emerald, which I know can be different colours, but I know, but Ray, you really think of green. Wizard of Oz.
Exactly. The yeah. Wizard of Oz. Yes. Yes, yeah, so the emerald was about, just came up, love, you know, love. And I thought, God, was that? Love
That's
yourself.
Really interesting because yes. the heart chakra is green.
It yeah. is, isn't it? Yes, mm. it is, exactly. Mm. So, yes, mm. love came up.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. And I thought, what's that even mean? I thought, yeah. I don't know what it means.
And also, like, not just love the outside, because honestly, if we look at the outside, it's quite depressing.
It is. Absolutely.
So you better start yes. loving your inside.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was all of that, you know, love. Love yourself. What's that even mean? I don't know. We're not really taught that. So it was an inside job. And it also encompassed relationships, love and relationships, but more love yourself first. And then relationship can be the cherry on the cake, if you like. It's a question. It was an inside job. It was a going within in a way that I'd never thought about before. But by going within, which I did more and more, There is this deeper space within, which was a kind of internal reference point for your life that can become that. And yes, so love was the big one. I thought this.
So that's heart, and then everything's from the heart. Yeah.
Everything from that, and also what came in there was love of the world and our planet and what's going on, and taking that radical response.
And green, the
green,
word green
exactly.
Again.
Nature, yeah. you know, it yeah. has no agenda, it has no mm. ego. Surrounded mm. in nature, it's somewhere to rest and to look around and. You know, look at nature. It has no ego. It's mm.
and nature is the most restorative.
Yes.
Going for a walk and looking at green
exactly.
or the sea or the sky.
Exactly. So it reminded yeah. us the responsibility for our planet, our beautiful
yes,
planet.
Which is a very serious subject. Yes. Next is sapphire.
Oh, the sapphire. I love this one.
Now I think of it as blue because I've got a sapphire on my
lucky
ring.
Lucky you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the sapphire. Yeah, the sapphire was blue. This was all about communication. Mm. I mean, there are many ways we communicate. Communicate mm. how we speak, how we don't speak, empathy. You know, and we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, you know, listening. Well, so I'm told I'm a terrible chatterbox. But it was a reminder to remember to communicate and don't dim yourself down, because if you don't have an opinion, then there are other stronger characters will have, and you can be this version of yourself that is, you know, you're not feeling fully connected. So actually learning to speak your truth and say no if that's what you want. Boundaries, you know, for women all around the world, it's a big one, you know, a huge subject for women in particular, I think. So yeah,
okay,
certainly.
So finding your voice.
Yeah,
and learning how to enjoy it, communicate it. Yeah.
Yes.
What about singing and things like that?
Yes, and also it reminded you it's the day to think of friendships and having fun and social life. Singing
yes,
in the shower.
Singing and gossip.
Gossip,
and, yeah,
all that. Yeah. Absolutely fabulous.
Having a laugh.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So it's all that communicating, because when you're communicating and actually saying what you feel and enjoying the company of others, that's when you know you're polishing your sapphire, when you can relax into that.
Oh, like it, polishing your sapphire.
Yeah.
I've got to do that every day. Now, the next one is lapis lazuli. Is that right?
Yes, lapis.
Now, can we, because a lot of people might not have heard of that, can you explain what it is?
Lapis lazuli, I mean, it just came to me because on the rainbow it's indigo, isn't it? Oh, for some, so indigo. Lapis lazuli is a beautiful stone. I think Cleopatra used to soften it and use it as eyeliner.
It's like a sort of turquoisey colour.
No, it's a dark blue. It's like an indigo. You know, on the colours of the rainbow, you get, you know, all the colours, and then you get blue, indigo,
yes,
violet.
You do.
So
I've never thought that, but actually blue and indigo are similar colours.
Yes,
so
you've got the blue of the when I was doing, it's like the blue, the light blue of the saffron, the turquoise colour, and then indigo, and I thought, oh, lapis, that came to me. So
this is like so deep that sometimes you can't tell whether it's black or not.
Exactly, it's that lovely. And what popped up on this one was home. Home, your family, your environment. Because our home should be like a sanctuary from the rest of the world. So we walk in, we go, oh, you know, if you're in a castle or a bedsit, whatever it is, surround yourself with things that make, and people that make you feel good. So that was coming.
So make a lovely sacred space for yourself.
Yeah, little space.
Yes. Yeah, look after yourself. Look after yourself. Your environment and have somewhere you can feel safe, I think.
Exactly.
Really important.
Yeah, surround yourself with things you love to smell, see, touch, and ring that old aged aunt you haven't spoke to his family for 100 years. It's just to remind the importance of family. And if you don't have a blood family, then people really close to you. It's just a day to just think about them and get your home and declutter and, just when you come home, you go, I'm home, that feeling.
That's beautiful. Okay, and then amethyst.
Yes.
What colour is the amethyst?
Well, it's violet. It's the last colour of the rainbow, purple or violet. So that one came out as, I know the continent was Europe, because I say every day I have a continent. And it's all about health.
And well-being.
Well-being. Yeah. And body, mind and spirit. So it comes to the Greek word holos or holistic. So striving for balance in all areas, body, mind and spirit. So, yes, body, you know, what we eat and drink and a bit of exercise, reminding us to get that on track. Mind, watching our thoughts, what we think, the story we're telling ourselves and others about life. And finally, spirit. And I love, there's someone who said we are... spiritual beings having a part-time human experience rather than the other way around. That's quite good. So go within and kind of, so that's
okay. So we're spiritual beings having a part-time experience.
Yeah, having a part-time physical experience and rather than physical beings having a part-time spiritual one. That was someone who said that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So everything you do is going towards the greater then, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes.
That's it's not just, here and now and I might as well just... You know, you've got to. You can think of a massive picture.
Exactly, on the biggest picture.
Beautiful.
And the one we forgot actually was the third one, which was the yellow one, which is the citrine, which is the yellow one, which is to do with charity. So that's charity.
Oh.
Where is it we can make a difference in our lives and the lives of our country, the the planet. So that was charity. So that's the seven.
Yeah, and they all come to a rainbow.
They all are the colours of the rainbow. And then the prize, when I polish them all, I was like, polishing them means paying attention to them, thinking about them, that's what I used to. And then the prize was you can get the diamond out, glass, unfortunately. And then you put the diamond up to light, see it reflects all the colours of the rainbow, all the colours of all the jewels in perfect harmony. And it's a gentle reminder as well to, if you just think about work and money, you're not going to feel the glow of the diamond because you're just doing one facet of the diamond. So it's a gentle reminder to polish all of the jewels. That's to get the prize, which is an opening of your heart and just to feel an inner radiance. Because if you, as I say, if you just think about work or...
just focus on
one thing.
Or worry about
work. Or worry, exactly.
I think worry is the main thing, you know.
Worry.
It's one part of your life you just think, and you can't face it. And
I know, just put it...
So love life, you think, is because a lot of people are interested in how to manage their love life. Love life, you need to get all these things in place to be able to have a love life, do you think?
Well, it's a journey. I mean, we're not, you know, there's no such thing as a happy, happy life and everything's just happening immediately. But I think what it gave me is getting myself back on track. I actually created something called the Diamond Day where So I had a week chart. So Mondays I'd think about the ruby in Africa. Tuesday it was, you know, the topaz and creativity in Australia. And by the end of the week, I'd gone through every continent. Felt like I'd been on a magic carpet around the world. I thought about all these things. But it was love. The main thing is, obviously, everybody longs for love. And we are social beings and we love. And it's a beautiful thing. But I think the main, most important relationship is the one with yourself. So get yourself sorted out, polish your jewels and make sure that you are feeling good. And then you will be in a much better position to love and be loved. So, love, everybody deserves to love and be loved. And there's someone in it for everybody and everything. But
what if you're feeling very hurt, let down and betrayed? You know, what if life really has been very negative for you? How can you get over these things?
Well, I suppose that was my experience for myself, because after a 30-year marriage, I thought I put everything into it. I thought, what did I do wrong? You know,
is that what happened to your husband?
Yes, he had an affair. And in a way, when I look back at it...
How did you find out what happened?
Well, I found out because somebody mentioned to me that they thought that that might be the case. And I said, no.
So they knew.
Yeah, they knew.
But they were trying to say it in a nice way.
And I said, no, you don't understand. No, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And when I found out, I was just...
How did you find out?
Well, because he denied it and said, oh, well, they're ridiculous. You know what they're like. They're always, you know, da, da, da. Mm. And so when I found out, I actually fainted nearly. Because I'd been putting so much effort and trying to make things better for him, because I thought it was all my fault. And little did I know. But it was, in a way, the best thing that ever, I'm looking back on it, because it was a real wake-up call. And I mean, I absolutely went to pieces. I was absolutely devastated. It was my two lovely girls, my whole life,
How
everything.
How old were your children?
So the girls were in their 20s by now. Yeah. They're in their
20s. And how
20s.
Long ago was this?
So this is about 5 or 6 years ago.
So not long ago, really.
No. I mean, it wasn't really. I mean,
so did you decide... I mean, you don't... People have affairs. They don't decide to finish.
No, I know.
Necessarily.
I appreciate that. I think, though, that in my case, it was a wake-up call for myself to find myself, to draw a line in the sand about this person I'd become who didn't speak up for herself, and I needed space to do that.
So you'd become the little wife.
Oh, then. I mean, I didn't have an opinion. In the morning, if someone, because he was quite successful in the morning, I would just say, oh, if someone says, do you like cheesecake? I said, oh, I love it. By the afternoon, if someone else, another client who he was important to him, said, I said, oh, I hate it. Mm. I mean, I didn't even have an opinion. Mm. And so there was a need for me to need to go away from that toxicity in myself. It might, I'm not saying it's his fault.
No.
What happened, the radical responsibility part was, where is it that I'm
Well, you
doing
just
this?
Felt responsible for the home and the children.
Everything.
But you weren't looking at your, you were being so selfless that you'd lost yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd lost myself.
In your mojo, your...
Everything.
Yeah.
Because you just become, if someone says turn left, you turn left, you turn right, you'd forgotten, you'd lost your worth, everything about you, and it was very inauthentic.
So did you decide to divorce him, or he decided to divorce you?
Well, I think what happened is that I first of all, I went, an old nursing friend actually rang me up and said, and I didn't tell anyone what I was going through. I was quite quiet, trying to keep the whole thing going. I was like, And then someone said, Belle, why am I thinking about you? Because she's an old nursing friend, and we used to have love. And she said, come to Cornwall. And I said, actually, that would be lovely. So I went down in my little old beaten up car with my treasure box of jewels, my notes I'd stuffed in the bag, which I didn't know why. I organically put those in the car. I think I took my cat as well, and we bumbled off down to Cornwall. And I went for a week, and I ended up there 2 years, because on the hills of the Lizard Peninsula, I mean, I went back because I realised that being away from that toxic environment where I couldn't speak up for myself. And he was very...
Was he dominating?
Well, he had an opinion about everything. And so I, in the end, I just gave up. I just said, yes, I agree, for a quiet life. I just dimmed down to the version. I didn't even have a version. So I was like, yes, just to keep everything quiet. I didn't want to upset the girl. You know how it is, just trying to be
walking
this...
Walking on eggshells.
Walking on eggshells, almost self-sacrificing myself. But I
Well, you did.
You did. I did, exactly. Yeah. There was no probably about it. Yeah. And so, and then, but I, you know, so I went to Cornwall, and then I'd sit there, and in that piece of nature, in that space, it gave me the space to look at my things. And then I got my notes out, and not thinking about writing a book. It was just me in the jewel box the cake I ate. I sat for hours on the Lizard Peninsula looking out to sea, the most southerly part, walked, and in the beauty...
Walking, I think, is the most healing thing you can do.
Walking, in that space.
Because you can think more clearly. The thing about legs moving.
Yes.
And it restores your soul.
It does. It does. Yes. And
so you were at the lowest point in the world when you arrived there.
I was absolutely in such a heap. I was in a dreadful, anxious, just in a terrible state.
Anxiety attacks,
panic attacks, anxiety attacks. Nowhere to go in my mind or body. I was just a complete wreck and living on nervous energy, and so constricted and in fear, worrying about the future, like these horror movies, what the future would be like. I'm going to be on my own.
Well, you've been so dependent for so long.
I'd actually relied on him in ways, because, you know, he had quite a good job. And so I just...
Yeah. And he'd made all the decisions.
And I just... Mm. Yes, I was in a...
By the way. It's a totally...
Yeah.
Well, I've been there. You know,
really?
Yeah, in a way.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got more and more confident. I think it's hard when your children particularly are small.
Yes.
Because then you just turn into this very small unit, because all you care about is them and your husband. You've got to please them, and you kind of run around in this very small circle.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my, you forget about the real world, and you forget about... It happened to me. I remember being terrified of getting a train from Dorset to London. Gosh, I lived in Dorset at the time,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And just trying to find the confidence. You know, I'd lost everything.
Yes.
I can totally, totally relate to what's happened to you. And so tell me, you were there for 2 years. When did you start feeling good again?
So very slowly. I mean, it wasn't a quick thing. I was, every day I'd have the routine. She was a nurse. And I was looking after her husband wasn't well, so I helped look after David. He thought we were mad because we were laughing. We were always gigglers and nursing. We trained at the Middlesex in the 70s.
Right.
And every day... David was, quite, bless him, you know, he was very ill, but he used to listen to us talk away. And she was doing her nursing, and I used to take their dogs out because David couldn't. He couldn't
walk.
That
was one of your jobs.
That was one of my jobs. So I'd never been around dogs before. Anyway, we went to Lizard Point, and slowly, slowly, people would remark, "Gosh, you look better." And I said, "Oh, it's my jewels and my tools." And they said, "Oh, tell me." And I seemed to help others, especially young women, even with beauty and youth on their side. My daughter's friends came down with breakups and dramas. Well, everybody has. And I said, "Oh, well, have you thought about..." And as I began to share, I thought, gosh, not only can I help helping myself, but maybe I could help others. And even maybe this could be my purpose, to help girls and women in particular value themselves, to know this. But I still wasn't cooked. You know, I was still going through it. And then they said, "Will you write it down?" And I thought, oh. And I went to India, that's right before, and this man said, "One day you'll write a book and there will be many jewels." And I thought of that because that was in 2008, yeah.
Oh, my God, I got goosebumps when
you
said that.
I know. And I was, he said, wow. This was before this happened. It was 2008 and I was in India and a holy man stopped me and he said, "One day you'll write a book and there will be many jewels and for women." And I thought, very India, I thought. So I don't think so. I can't even, my handwriting's dreadful. I'd never thought of it. I don't think so. And of course, little did I know what was about to unfold with the Seven Jewels of Life.
Magic.
It was magic. Yeah, it was a very magic.
So how has the book changed your life, bringing it out?
Well, it's just on Amazon. I just, and eventually people said, oh, anyway, I've got it up on Amazon.
Yeah, you've got it published.
I've got it self-published.
And Kindle.
Oh, yes, Kindle. Yeah. It's not so good in Kindle because it's the colour. It's quite colourful. Okay. I mean, it's very simple. It's a tiny little book. But it's about my jewels and go into the details about the jewels and my unique tools, which is what makes it different from a self-help empowerment book is the unique tools I used.
Okay, it's tell us about the tools.
Well, in a bid to get clear, because if the jewels had given me a roadmap, something to do, Monday, you know, I'll think about it. It gave me a bit of a roadmap. And I was thinking, well, why is it so frustrating why I get stuck and stopped in my dreams, even though I knew what I wanted to do? And I began to get curious. And I was thinking, what is it that's stopping me? And I thought, so I started to get very clear. And I thought, well, in a bid to understand how to, I needed to work out how we work as humans. And I thought, hang on a minute. I thought, our thoughts are everything. I realised, my gosh. And then... our thoughts are everything, because if we believe our thoughts, they make us... if we believe our stressful thoughts, we suffer. And then if we're in that zone, we're going to feel rubbish, and then our actions are going to be no good, or we're not taking any action, or inappropriate, or none at all, then the results will be rubbish. So I thought... so in a bid to get really clear, I rushed out and I bought a little plain book, and I wrote down everything I was thinking. I mean, it was so sad.
But very therapeutic.
All the rubbish. I'm not enough. I'll never do this. I'll be on a bag lady up at the street. I'll be whatever it was. I mean, it was so sad. I thought, it's so sad. I've got to make it funny because I couldn't cope. So I made these little characters called the storm bugs. And they were like little things who, they live in the storm of your life. Because I was sitting on the lizard and there was all these storms that came in. And I thought, those are the storm bugs that are stopping me.
Yes.
And then I realised if these thoughts... as a grown adult, we pick a lot of these thoughts up when we're children. But as a grown adult, what if I had a choice? Who would I be without that thought? And, you know, through the work later on, I found works of Byron Katie and people like that and Wayne Dyer and all these people who were saying it, which I read later. I thought, right, without that, I'd be brilliant. And I rushed off to Penzance and I bought this book and I studded it with jewels, absolute glass jewels. And then I wrote another story. And wow, who I turned the whole life around, you know. And so that was one of the two books of life were one of my tools. And then the storm bugs became real characters. They're like little bullies. And they were like, oh, you'll never do this. And they were like little children. They were actually a vulnerability about them. They wanted, and I thought, you're just...
So do the storm bugs appear in your life still?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're always there. I said, hello. I said, oh, gosh, yes, they're always there. You know, it's coming in and out.
Okay. But you ignore them now.
No, I don't. No, I say, welcome. Oh, they have tea and cakes now. I mean, I say, hello. I don't mean that. But I mean, I give them time. I listen to them. What's your problem? What are you trying to...
And what do you think the storm bug is?
I think it's just parts of our ego. It's that part of us, our disempowered thoughts that want to keep us back from being the best that we can be. So it's like our ego. It's like, you'll never do this. The three main ones I did, the disempowering, all that I made them little characters, and you'll never do this. You know, is that true? Yeah. How does that make me feel?
Okay, so you can argue back to
them. Yes. And then when you put a light on them, they dissolve because they can't stand the light.
Oh, I like it.
So the diamond light, as you put the light on it, and then some of them have done really well for themselves. They're huge. I mean, they were practically off turning, you know, left on the plane with a pina colada. I mean, they were huge. You'll never do this, you're rubbish. So they actually made me laugh. I thought, oh, it's God. You know, and I thought, they were huge. And then as I stopped feeding them my thoughts, they became these kind of stick insects because the thoughts was keeping their diet going. So as I stopped feeding them, they became the slimmer version.
So they're now little stick things.
Oh, yes, I mean, some of them are, you know, still quite active, but I just think, well, whatever. I mean, we're not going to stop them, but that's half the thing of life. You know, we're never going to, but it's, you know what to do with it. You've got somewhere to go with it, to question them.
Fantastic. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. You've been an amazing interview. So people can come to you for consultations, can't they?
Yes, I'm starting to do those. I'm giving talks. I've just done Mind, Body, Spirit in Birmingham. I think I'll probably be doing the one in October. October, what am I talking about? May at Olympia. Mm-hmm. And to find out more about what the jewels mean and the tools, yes, they can go to the book on Amazon. And I will be starting to do more one-to-one, but I'm making my talks more of a roadshow so I can get more people around it. And
fantastic. And I love the idea of you empowering women.
Yes, that's absolute key to me.
Exactly.
Absolute key.
So thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you, Josephine. It's absolutely lovely to meet you, and I love Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, fabulous. So good. And the book and the Kindle is now available, even though Belinda does say go and buy the book. Yeah. It's The Seven Jewels of Life by Belinda Jane Robinson. And there's a website as well, sevenjewelsoflife.com. And seven is written, S-E-V-E-N. It's sevenjewelsoflife.com. Thank you so much. And you can always find the most interesting women on Radio Gorgeous.